5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the latest episode of Built in Ohio, a podcast where we're talking with and about technology in the state of Ohio. Today, we have one of Ohio's tech leaders that I'm sure most of you already know and are very familiar with the work, but Ray Leach of Jumpstart, the CEO, is joining us today. They've been doing a ton of work for a long time, but it seems like, Ray, in the past couple of years and looking forward, you guys just keep adding and adding and adding more stuff, which we'll dig into some of it in a little bit. But first off, welcome to the show. And for those not familiar with maybe you or the work of Jumpstart, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Great. Well, great to be with you, Chris. We're really excited to be part of the OhioX community. So again, my name is Ray Leach. I'm the founding CEO of Jumpstart. We've been around. We're coming up on our 20th anniversary as an organization. And so my background has been a serial entrepreneur here in Ohio. I've also worked in other markets, tech markets across the United States. But for the last 20 years, I've been focused on how we can every day, every week, every month, get a little bit better, a little bit stronger, both as an organization, but probably more importantly, as a state and as a region, how our tech economy can build upon the progress that we've made over the last couple decades. Jumpstart itself is a venture development firm. Our mission is to unlock the full potential of entrepreneurship to transform entire communities. So I think our founding mission and vision was a little narrower. It was just really only focused on tech startups and really principally focused on angel and venture capital. But over the last 20 years, as the organization has evolved and had many successes, and also our region and state has many challenges, the organization is really focused on delivering capital, services, and connections to entrepreneurs that we believe have the greatest opportunity to generate wealth for their families and jobs and opportunities here in Ohio. So it's been quite the evolution over 20 years.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you mentioned not just a regional impact in Northeastern Ohio, but across Ohio, across the region and the Midwest, really, because that's kind of telling the stories. But before we dig more into the work of Jumpstart, what is the geographic region for Jumpstart specifically? Because you have partner organizations in different parts of the state, but what does that kind of map sure. look like?
Well, it has evolved over time. It's ebbed and flowed, expanded and contracted, either because of our partnerships and collaborations, our funding partners, or maybe mission and opportunity scenarios we've had over time. So today, Jumpstart, as our Jumpstart Ventures, our tech investing activity is investing all across the state of Ohio. So we're investing at the seed and Series A stage, and of course, doing follow-on investments with Jumpstart Ventures all across the state. We have about 170 portfolio companies, a little over 105, 110 active companies. Generally speaking, you'd find probably 75%, 80% of those companies in the northern part of the state, really Northeast Ohio. We do have a handful or so in Northwest Ohio. But then the other 20-25% are in really Columbus, Cincinnati, and across the state. So Jumpstart really started to invest statewide about 7-8 years ago when we launched the Next One Fund, or the first for-profit fund at Jumpstart, which is called the Next Fund. Now there's the Next Two Fund that also invests statewide. But even Jumpstart's early investment funds, the Evergreen Fund, the Focus Fund, and the evolution of those funds, now all of our funds are interested in investing statewide. So that's important on the capital side. On the services side, while there's really no limitations to us providing services to both tech companies and small businesses across the state, 95% of our service energy is really in Northern Ohio. So we're headquartered in Cleveland. We also have an office in Toledo. We are the third frontier partner for the northern half of the state. Our evolution in working in Northwest Ohio happened over the last 4 or 5 years. So on the services side, which we are funding or helping to fund in partnership with the third frontier, about 16 other organizations, you know, research institutions, universities, other economic development organizations through our partnership with the third frontier. The last thing I'll say, and this is a newer thing, but I think would give your listeners and watchers a wrinkle of kind of what are scenarios where Jumpstart can get involved in things outside Ohio. So right now there's a federal program called the Small State Business Credit Initiative, or SSBCI. SSBCI is putting $9.5 billion of capital through 50 U.S. states and 6 tribal governments and territorial governments. And a large percentage of that capital is going to fund or back tech startups. And a specific element to that tech startup activity is Treasury and the states want to see a significant portion of that capital going to what the feds call socially and economically disadvantaged Americans or individuals, or SETI is the category. So Jumpstart's involved not only in Ohio, but nationally in helping to get more capital to socially and economically disadvantaged individuals. And specifically, Jumpstart's involved in a partnership with a group called Hyphen, where we are a champion to get hundreds of millions of dollars into the hands of Black and Hispanic venture capital fund managers across the United States. So Jumpstart has a little consulting activity or advisory activity that has come completely additive or separate from our work specifically focused on Ohio. And this has just launched in the last handful of months. And so this is a scenario where the state of Ohio is getting ready to deploy capital to emerging fund managers as well. But here, Jumpstart's experience and expertise was seen as a unique set of experience that the national foundations are very interested in seeing capital getting into the hands of emerging managers of color. And so Jumpstart is really a partner, a champion to help those states figure out programs that make sense to get capital to emerging fund managers, help the emerging managers themselves write proposals and do what they need to do to get prepared to raise maybe their first or second fund. And then thirdly, help those emerging managers raise LP capital that's required as part of the SSBCI program to get their funds up and running. So I think, you know, one of the challenges and yet the blessings of Jumpstart is we're kind of at that intersection of public, private, philanthropic, venture capital, a real focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And because we've been doing this for the last 20 years, opportunities come to Jumpstart that are relatively unusual. And what we do, or the way we think about it, is how does this opportunity align to our mission? Again, unlocking the full potential of entrepreneurship, but with that second impact goal of transforming entire communities.
Yeah, great overview. Thank you. And I think I just saw you and some of the team in Washington, D.C., I'm sure, talking about some of this. And you mentioned the SSBCI and some of the federal mm-hmm. grants. And so that's awesome to see the Ohio leadership at the table nationally and making sure there's that Ohio perspective that's part of those conversations. One more question on the tech side, because we obviously have a lot of tech companies right. and entrepreneurs listening to this. I guess it's really a two-part. One is, what kind of technology companies does Jumpstart Ventures look into investing? And then you mentioned Jumpstart's been around for 20 years. Has that evolved at all in terms of what Ohio is producing with the companies being built here and the entrepreneurs that we now have?
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, Jumpstart is very interested in working with founders who are addressing big markets. Now, we don't have a prescribed limitation. So, you know, we are open. Now we have a proclivity of the kinds of things that we invest in. So we're very focused in IT, whether that's in insurtech, logistics, fintech, also healthcare IT is a big area of focus. Part of that is just the nature of the size of our funds. You know, our we've raised about $140 million. We're right on the precipice of having invested $100 million. And Ohio startups that should happen in the next couple months that will cross over that amount of capital deployed. But we are open to a broad mix of industries. And of course, we have new and emerging industries coming to Ohio, or at least to Ohio, semiconductor and other things. But, you know, the capital as an investor, the capital efficiency of these businesses to be able to scale is important, because probably the largest amount of money we're putting in any one company is $2 to $3 million, because, you know, we're not investing a $100 million fund in, at the moment, at least. So So I think we're looking for companies that maybe, you know, only need to raise a total of maybe 20 to 30 million to get to exit, maybe less in some cases. So that is something that informs our thinking kind of in regards to our investing activity. We do like to co-invest with others. There was in the early days of Jumpstart, oftentimes we were the first check in the deal. Maybe in the average investment back then was maybe 400,000. Now our average investment is two and a half times that per company. And we do want to be optimally at the table with at least two to three other check writers, because as we all know, things can happen for companies that maybe delay their progress. And, you know, we want to have partners at the table that have the ability to continue to fund the company going forward. So I think that was the answer to the first question. Your second question was the evolution of Jumpstart. So I sometimes describe Jumpstart as on its like sixth chapter over 20 years. And part of that is like we write a new strategic plan every 3 years or so. And so, you know, it's been an evolution. And I've been thinking a little bit about maybe ask the question of, you know, what's happened over the last 20 years. So today, Jumpstart is investing more money in tech startups than we ever have. The last year and this year, it's going to end up being about $17 to $18 million each year in tech startups across Ohio. We do also provide a couple million a year to more traditional small businesses that Jumpstart provides services to. And the vast majority of them are Black and Hispanic small businesses. And by the way, Jumpstart's really proud of our numbers in terms of investments into Black and Hispanic tech entrepreneurs as well as female entrepreneurs. But the investing activity is still at the core of Jumpstart. And, you know, if everything happens the way Jumpstart and Jumpstart Ventures expect and anticipate will happen, that number is going to continue to increase. So that hopefully in another year or two, we'll be investing 25 to 30 million a year as the ventures team continues to raise capital and deploy that money. And we're still going to be very focused on Ohio. So I don't envision Jumpstart Ventures investing a lot of money outside Ohio, at least not in the next couple of years. The second component that has evolved is this, from the beginning, is this idea that we're responsible or accountable for an ecosystem of actors. That was not in the original mission for Jumpstart. That changed 14 years ago or so. So it changed a while ago, but this idea that funders, the state of Ohio and other entities, public, private, philanthropic funders, back then they were really encouraged by how much progress Jumpstart was making as an individual entity investing and coaching companies, but they saw that really the strength of the ecosystem is also really important. And so Jumpstart made a pretty significant expansion of our work back in 2008, 2009 in partnership with the Third Frontier. So not only were we this investing entity, but we also were spending a lot of time to help create North Coast Angel Fund or to help create other investing groups, but then also manage resources from the state of Ohio that would go to the incubators and to the tech commercialization activities. Across at the time, it was only Northeast Ohio. Now it's expanded to all of Northern Ohio. So on one hand, we're really focused on doing deals. On the other hand, we're thinking about how can we be a better, stronger partner to other actors in the ecosystem. And Jumpstart's also spent a lot of time and energy around building collaborations with formal and informal collaborators, but also tracking the not only, of course, the dollars coming in, but how we're using those dollars and how that activity is generating significant outcomes, whether that's job creation, follow-on capital. You know, this ecosystem approach does make sense. You know, the strength of the collective is important, but that's very different than being a venture investor alone, right? So that was a big evolution. And then it's continued to evolve. You know, one thing that's unique about Jumpstart is that we're a 501c3, first of all, as the mothership is a nonprofit. We do now have for-profit funds that Jumpstart Ventures is investing. But in that original first $50 million or so that we raised to invest in companies, all of that money at Jumpstart is considered evergreen, meaning we don't have general partners. So there aren't people who work at Jumpstart who get a carried interest as a result of the investment returns of that activity, but we also don't have limited partners. So that means when we invest, in the early days when we, in very, very early days, but also still today, when we, if we're investing out of our Evergreen fund, we're investing kind of with house money, and 100% of those returns accelerate more economic opportunity, more growth, more programs, more things Jumpstart can do. And so when we started to generate returns from our tech investing in 2011, 2012, 2013, that's when Jumpstart's also evolved small businesses. At the time, Cleveland was the poorest large city in the United States back eight, nine years ago. So Jumpstart was kind of looking at itself in the mirror saying, okay, we're 100% focused on tech. We are doing well, better than national averages in helping minority entrepreneurs in tech, but we're sitting in a community that has all sorts of entrepreneurs who maybe aren't running tech companies, but have a big opportunity to create economic impact. And so given we're a 501c3, an economic development organization that's focused on growing opportunities for Northeast Ohioans and Ohioans, that's when we decided, hey, let's really do more to help a broader set of entrepreneurs. So today, Jumpstart's working with about 1,500 entrepreneurs a year. Half of those entrepreneurs are not tech entrepreneurs. They're small business owners, founders. The vast majority of them are female, Black, or Hispanic. And we're really proud of not just our partnerships with those entrepreneurs, but the impact those companies are making in the Ohio economy. And then the other half of our client base and portfolio companies are on the tech side. So that's relatively unusual. Most entities like Jumpstart in the state of Ohio and across the country, they haven't been as maybe as aggressive or as we have been to try to help a broader set of entrepreneurs. And we've been able to do that in many ways because of our success or the success of the investments that we've made out of the Evergreen Fund.
What is, and that's a fantastic overview, which also is timely. We'll put these in the show notes, but Jumpstart has out their 2022 economic impact report with a ton of great data and information, which falls in line with what we've just heard. But Ray, what is we've talked about the last 20 years. What does the next 20 years look like for Jumpstart impact in the
region? Right. Well, first, on the 2022 Economic Impact Report, so this is a huge effort Jumpstart pulls together with our partners every year. So the headline for 2022 was the entrepreneurs that we invested in or assisted, and we have a minimum threshold. You know, just because we talk to somebody for 5 minutes doesn't mean we survey them or count them. There's thresholds in different programs. But those entrepreneurs generated a $1.3 billion economic impact in the state of Ohio just in 2022. Wow. Hundreds of millions of dollars of taxes. We've impacted about 11,000 total jobs just in a single year. So I think one of the messages of economic development and the kind of work Jumpstart does is this work is logarithmic. If you're able to generate some momentum and you can build on that momentum, because a lot of times, as we all know, entrepreneurs start with an idea or maybe a 2, 3, 4 person team, and it might take them 5 years to get to their 20th or 30th employee. So, you know, working with a broad base of entrepreneurs, bringing them capital, services, and connections to accelerate their growth over time can make a huge impact. The tax impact alone of Jumpstart's work is, you know, anywhere from 30 to 50x return to our public sector supporters, depending on the programs and the years over time. So we're super proud of that. Having said that, one of the areas that's been the greatest opportunity, and I would be remiss to say one of the greatest frustrations of the last 20 years, is that we just don't have enough capital in the state of Ohio, writ large, to accelerate the growth of our most promising entrepreneurs, either more quickly, more effectively, more efficiently. And by the way, if it wasn't for the state of Ohio and the Ohio Third Frontier, Jumpstart wouldn't exist. And the capital success and the economic impact that Jumpstart's clients have made would be nowhere near what it is. So we have one of the most aggressive and the most progressive state governments in the United States that has supported entrepreneurs and innovators over the last 20 years. And I shudder to think where we'd be without that support. my guess is we'd be anywhere from, you know, 50 to 70% lower than where we are today. And we're nowhere near where I'd like to see us be, not only as a region, but as a state. So one of the things that I have spent a lot of time on, and certainly SSBCI is a good example of this, there's about $120 million that's coming from the federal government to the state of Ohio that's going to be invested in venture funds over the next 6 months or so. But that's still a drop in the bucket. I mean, we need significantly more capital to grow, particularly venture-backed companies. So anything and everything that an entity like Jumpstart, Jumpstart Ventures, OhioX, and others can do to help public, private, philanthropic, institutional, and corporate leaders understand, if we are able to aggregate significantly more capital, then we're going to be able to generate much more significant outcomes. If you go back to that $1.3 billion of economic impact, if you correlate that down to the firms that raise the greatest amount of capital in our client base, they represent almost 70% of the outcomes. So you can help a lot of entrepreneurs, but if they don't have the capital, the specific services, and the connections they need, they're not going to be able to grow. So I think a big area of Jumpstart and our partners, both in the region and across the state, is what more can we do to aggregate more capital, particularly for tech companies, but it goes beyond. You know, there is SSBCI money is going to small businesses as well through different lending vehicles. But I think, you know, Ohio, given the leadership that Ohio has demonstrated and the entities on the ground in Ohio, there's no other state in the union that has the kinds of strength that we have, regional organizations and partnerships with healthcare institutions and research universities. We have an incredible kind of foundation, but if we could layer another $500-700 million of capital a year, that's really what I think we need. We need to find vehicles where we're able to invest significant hundreds of millions of dollars across, you know, whether it's 3, 6, 8 funds to really catalyze on these investments that the state and others have made over time. So it's capital, capital, and capital. If you can get the capital, you can keep the talent, attract the talent, or connect to the talent. Obviously, post-COVID, a lot of the talent that are helping our companies aren't necessarily living in Ohio. So, you know, that, I guess the other thing I would say, looking at it over 20 years, it is remarkable how fragile the capital ecosystem is in a flyover state. You know, so it's not super fragile in California or in Texas or in Massachusetts or in the state of Washington. But if you're in one of the 45 states that represent kind of flyover states as a percentage, the individuals investing that capital and their ability to partner with entrepreneurs who can generate great returns, that's what it's all about. And if you know, it's sad that these systems are as fragile, or it's frustrating, but it's also the truth that these systems are super, super fragile. So we've seen, to the plus side, what the impact drive has made in the state of Ohio. So there's a great example of how a group of people can come together and make a huge impact on the state. And so we need many, many, many more groups that have the capacity to deploy real capital if we're going to take Ohio into the top 10 venture states in the U.S.
Yeah, well, and that's a perfect segue that we did not plan for those listening to some of the stuff upcoming throughout the rest of this year, with about half the year left. One is now a second annual, and that's Futureland. And I should say, October is probably the most incredibly busy month for a city I've ever seen in my life. It's like the Olympics are coming to town with what's coming to Cleveland in October. But October 5th to the 7th, I believe, Futureland, which is the second annual. And so we'll come back to that in a second. And then the second one we can chat about is right after that. And this is the inaugural edition, which is the Ohio VC Fest, which, my understanding, it's Jumpstart, Rev1, SensiTech coming together. And I love this novel idea, if I at least read the press release right, moving it then between the different cities. And I presume each year a different entity will kind of play as the host, with Jumpstart kicking it and leading it off. That's October 11th and 12th. But if you could kind of just talk a little bit about each and how That is, both of those really seem to be catching a lot of attention. And Futureland looked awesome last year. And I'm, right. I assume VC Fest is going to be just as awesome this year.
Yeah. So if there's anything we've all learned as a result of COVID is that, you know, this connecting piece is incredibly important. And as much as we all have grown accustomed to Zoom and things, you know, our ability to really share our knowledge, our connections, our relationships, our insights in person is super important. So about a year ago, we learned, Jumpstart and Leaders in Cleveland learned that the Forbes 30 Under 30 conference was likely to be coming to Ohio for three consecutive years. And so in the middle between Futureland and the VC Fest is Forbes 30 Under 30, which is a global event. It's coming to Cleveland this year. It's going to be in Cincinnati in October of 2024 and in Columbus in October of 2025. So if we have thousands of people coming from all over the world to Cleveland, to Ohio, we've thought about, well, how could we leverage other activities and initiatives going on in the city of Cleveland, whether they're version 2.0 of that event or whether they're a new event, to really highlight not just what's going on in Cleveland, but more importantly, what's going on in the Buckeye State and in kind of the upper Midwest. So about a year and a half ago, Mayor Bibb, Cleveland's mayor, had a vision during his campaign. And after he won that seat, he had a vision to really create a Black Tech Week kind of experience for minority tech entrepreneurs and artists and creators in Cleveland. Cleveland had never had an event like that in the past. So Jumpstart partnered with United Black Fund, the mayor's office, and many, many other corporate and institutional partners to create an event last year called Futureland, which was an incredible success. And that has a lot to do with the entrepreneurial leaders of Futureland. So Jumpstart's really a backer supporter of it. It's not formally a Jumpstart event, but we were a kind of a catalyst along with the mayor to make that happen. So that event is going to have its second experience in early October, October 5th and 6th in Playhouse Square. If your listeners haven't been to Playhouse Square, it's the largest theater district between Chicago and New York. So it's a very vibrant neighborhood. So that's where Futureland, it's a two-day conference. We're expecting we'll have thousands of inventors, entrepreneurs, innovators, artists coming. And of course, everyone's welcome, but it has a particular focus on entrepreneurs of color. And then Forbes 30 Under 30 is happening right after that. And then on the other end of Forbes 30 Under 30 is Jumpstart's VC Fest. And many of your listeners probably are familiar with or remember Venture Ohio had convenings previous to Venture Ohio. There were other convenings, but you know, Jumpstart really saw this as a great opportunity. Jumpstart Ventures, our tech investing group, saw this as a great opportunity to kind of bring the whole state together and to do it in a way that then would logically evolve to Cincinnati next year following Forbes 30 Under 30 in Columbus in 2025. So we are anticipating 400 or 500 folks coming to VC Fest. Obviously, lots of VCs, lots of entrepreneurs, but also stakeholders of those groups. And if for anyone who maybe experienced startup scale-up, so Jumpstart had numerous large venues called Startup Scale-Up that have thousands of folks come to Cleveland to experience that. This is kind of an evolution of Startup Scale-Up with a specific focus on Jumpstart's founding kind of vision, which is on the tech side, venture capital. And we're excited about bringing folks from all across the country, but particularly stakeholders in Ohio and the Midwest, given that's where a lot of the capital is coming from, at least for seed and Series A in Ohio.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I hope at least November becomes a bit of a slower month for Cleveland with everything going on.
Yeah, y'all, fall in Cleveland is beautiful. So September and October typically are some of our prettiest months. So the first half of October, it's going to be very busy here in Cleveland.
Yeah, you get those crisp fall days where it's just, you know, you go out with a, you know, no jacket, but it, you know, it's just, it's beautiful. So, as a Northeastern Ohio guy, I love that time of year, and you get football on TV and everything. Well, Ray, I've loved this conversation. We'll kind of start to wrap up and end with A couple quick questions that we ask all our listeners. And so it's fun to get, you know, leaders from across the state and their perspectives, from VCs to tech execs to researchers to you name it. The first one, we'll do three. What's a favorite read, listen, or watch? So this could be a book, a podcast, or show. Some answers are, this is what I do to unwind at the end of the day. And others are, this is what I revisit once a year because, you know, XYZ.
Yeah, well, for your listeners, and I presume probably many of them do listen to a podcast called The Lay of the Land. This is a little bit of a Cleveland pride, but Jeffrey Stern's podcast, which has highlighted about 150, 160 entrepreneurs in Cleveland or principally in Northeast Ohio, is an incredible resource. I you would think that I would know almost all the entrepreneurs in Cleveland or in Northeast Ohio, given what I've been doing for the last 20 years, but that's absolutely not the case. And so Jeff's podcast is an incredibly interesting and insightful listen, which, you know, I'm a loyal listener. So that's something that I would encourage anyone across Ohio to take a listen to.
That's great. Second one is, and we, again, we ask everyone this, and I know you probably have some great ideas, but if you had $100 million that, to solve one big problem, what would it be?
So I'll go back to capital. You know, I would sit down and think through what is the smartest way to leverage $100 million of LP capital. So these aren't grants. These aren't, you know, at least it'd be loans. If not, these aren't giveaways. What's the smartest way to leverage $100 million to be able to raise an additional 700, 800 million on top of that? Jumpstart has spent a lot of time in Cleveland, has spent a lot of time thinking through what would it take to replicate Drive Capital Fund 1.0. So like, what would it take for us to have an ability to get two highly experienced fund managers to headquarter a fund in Northeast Ohio and have their, you know, do they have the ability, or would they have important for them to have the ability to raise $200 million? So if we could get a handful of funds at 150 to 300 million first time funds in Ohio, and that $100 million could be LP capital to catalyze the growth of those funds, that's probably where I would start to see, is that possible? I think it is possible, and particularly given what's going on in the market right now, where emerging fund managers are struggling as much. You know, the industry calls an emerging fund manager anyone who's raised three or less funds. So right now, those managers, even if you've had a great fund and you look great on paper, but maybe you haven't generated great returns or you haven't raised more than three funds, there's a lot of great talent across the country that has a connection to the Midwest. And we've got to figure out a way to get those VCs to move here.
Yeah. Final one. What's a favorite place for you? And maybe kind of another way to spend it is getting those emerging managers here. Where would you take them in Cleveland to kind of show off the city, to help them see just how awesome it is?
Well, you know, Cleveland and Northern Ohio have so many incredible assets, but you probably start with the water, you know, the lakefront, the metro parks. We have parks on Lake Erie that literally, depending on the day of the year, you might think you're in California. I mean, I grew up here. I grew up in Akron, Ohio. It was not that way 30, 40 years ago. So I think that the natural assets of Ohio are tremendous, and particularly for folks who want to live, work, and play, and, you know, folks that enjoy the outdoors and enjoy, you know, whether it's hiking or biking or running, or that to me, that is a highly appreciated and recognized asset. But I think most folks, even downstate, maybe don't even realize all the natural assets that Northern Ohio, Cleveland, and Toledo have.
Oh, definitely. I was just up at the Federal Reserve Conference for a few days last week, and I grew up in Akron. I'm from Northeastern Ohio. I've been up a million times to Browns games, Guardians games, and when you wake up and you open the hotel window and there's Lake Erie, and it just looks amazing. Like, you don't feel like you're in Ohio. I mean, you feel like you're in some other city that's, you know. And again, I'm from Ohio and grew up here, and it's still, you know, you wake up with an extra pep in the step. It's pretty neat.
Yep. It's right? We're really proud of all the progress Cleveland's made over the last decade, for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. But Ray, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for sharing your work, sharing Jumpstart's work. Any final comments, or if you want to direct people to check out something about Jumpstart or connect with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, so I'm easily found at ray.leach@jumpstart.vc. You can also go learn about, if you're an entrepreneur looking for capital, certainly go to jumpstart.vc to learn about our funds and our activities. I guess I'd leave your listeners with something that that I think about all the time, and that is one person doing meaningful work in the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Ohio can change the trajectory of the state. So whether you're an investor, you're an entrepreneur, you're a subject matter expert, a technologist, everyone has a role to play. And at the end of the day, this is all about people. Yes, we need capital, and people with capital are even maybe even more, can make a greater impact in the near term. But I really encourage all your listeners, and I know you've got obviously a great membership, to get involved, stay involved. This is a generational challenge, and we're making progress. And I'm very encouraged about what's happened over the last 20 years.
Well, that's a perfect place to end it, Ray. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone for listening and watching another great episode of Built in Ohio. And again, some incredible stories of work that's been happening across the state. And so, Ray, we're grateful for you for sharing yours today with us. So thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you all have a great day, and we will see you next episode. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris.